Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Well, what are we going to do? We worked all day trying to cook this pot of beans. Man, I guess we could throw it out and go try again. Or, you know, maybe somebody go and knock on somebody's door and get some bread or something. You know, I guess we can feed these guys, but whole pot's ruined. And if we eat it, it poisoned. But the prophet said, bring meal. What's meal? You know what cornmeal is? Meal. It's corn that's been ground up and it's ready to make bread. So meal is something that's ready to make bread. Nowadays we don't use the term meal except I can think of cornmeal sometimes, I guess. I can't think of nothing else. But any kind of flour that you have that you want to make bread from, that's meal. He said take a handful of cornmeal and throw it in a pot, stir it in, and now put that back in everybody's bowl. And it says that there was no harm, no more poison in the pot. There's always a symbol, probably, in the Old Testament that you could learn from. The wild vine that poisoned whatever food they had, you can say that that's false doctrine. Well, what's false doctrine? Go home and turn on the TV to that religious channel, and all day long they'll be teaching false doctrine. And I get some people upset when you tell them that their favorite preacher they've been listening to for 30 years is false and is lying and is just trying to get in your wallet. Funny thing, when you go to Africa, you got to take all your money with you because you don't bring them back. The Bible has a word for those that preach for money. Now, the bishop may have a check for me, and that's great, and probably he takes a little bit, and probably every church up and down, was it 190, I believe? Every church up and down 190, they pay their pastor. The laborer is worthy of his hire. He was hired to preach, and he's worthy of it. I can complain about Joel Osteen, maybe he's making too much, but in normal circumstances, if you get a job, and I get a job making $15 an hour, and I guess I'm going to live. And you get a job back at 25 and you think, I don't know if I'm worth that much. If they were stupid enough to hire you at 25, then you're worth it. If it turns out that they were stupid and hired you because you didn't know what you're doing, they knock you down or they get rid of you and find somebody they can. Whatever you're hired at, don't think it's too much. If you're hired and it's too little, then try to get a better one. The laborer is worthy of his hire. But those that preach just for money, Jesus said it was a hireling. Yes. There's a lot of stuff you can talk about. King David, we know when he was not king, he was a little shepherd boy. When he went to do Goliath in, had that sling and whatever he said, when he was testifying, he says there was a lion that came and stole a sheep, and there was a bear that came and stole another sheep, and we lost those two sheep. But I got a lion's head, and I got a bear's head.
Yeah.
You understand?
Amen.
He risked his life. A hireling says, I just want your money. At no risk to myself. There's so much false doctrine. Again, just turn on the TV. Anything you can come up with, they've already come up with it, and they're talking about it. But the answer to false doctrine is meal. Or flour. Kind of jumble up my sermon a little bit, but in John chapter 6, verse 33 through 35, you don't got to turn there unless you want to. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Mm-hmm. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me shall never thirst. You got meal, which can turn into bread, and he says, I'm the bread of life. You can talk about when they came out of Egypt, they were in the wilderness 40 years. Every morning they got out, kind of rubbed their sleep out of their eyes, went outside the tent and says, oh, look, food. Right there.
Yeah.
They didn't have to work for it. God rained it out of the sky. Mm-hmm. And they lived, they survived every day, food from heaven. Jesus says, for the bread of God is he, not what, but he, which cometh down from heaven.
Yes, yes.
Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is our food. Mm-hmm. There's a lot you can say. There's also the other part you can say that we don't like to hear, that you have to eat him. You have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And,
yes.
You know, okay, fine, we're going to have a little ceremony, you know. Read what Paul said, and you know, when he was betrayed, and he gave this to me, and it's a nice ceremony, but he gave his life.
Yes, he did. Yes.
He shed his blood. Mm-hmm. He said, if any man come to me, let him deny himself, take up his own cross, and follow me. We know that the cross was the instrument of his death. But he says, you want to be a Christian, want to come after me, you got to take up your own instrument of death.
Yes.
You have to die. Not on physical cross, nailed, but to your desires.
Yeah.
And your ways of doing things. And your choice of where you should go to church. And your choice of what you should do with your life. You have to die. And say, but Lord, what do you want? I mean, I know the answer's in here somewhere. Will you please show me? Pastor, will you help me find out God's will for my life?
Amen.
You should go to the Word. Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereof according to the Word. You know, before I became a Christian, I did things shouldn't do. I could list them, but everybody knows what all those things were. But he changed me. And I knew that moment. I've told this before, but when I got saved, I knew that I was delivered, set free from death. And I knew that I had nothing in the bar to go back for.
Amen.
I was delivered instantly.
Yes. Yes.
I was set free instantly.
Thank God.
But some things that I had to learn. I had to read. And I had to go to Sunday school or whatever the case and learn. But then there are other things that as I learn, as I gain wisdom, what have you, then I stop doing those things too. Again, I've jumbled my sermon up, but let's just read a couple of verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. And he's talking about people during his time, so also these false teachers resist the truth. They have been of corrupted minds and reprobate concerning the faith. Well, I just described Kenneth Copeland. Right. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 13. I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal of Beelzebub and caused my people Israel to err. Chapter, is it 18 of 1 Kings, I want to say? I believe that was it. But when Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal, and fire came out of heaven and proved that the Lord, He is God. Choose this day who you'll serve. You're going to live for God or you're going to live for the devil? Well, there are people that are telling you in very nice suits, $1,000 suits, and $10,000 watch and whatever, give you money to me, I've got some other message that, well, I'm going to read a verse here, but I'm not going to tell you you have to change. I'm not going to tell you you have to stop doing that stuff. All you got to do is sit on a couch and don't be doing that and send in your money. And it causes God's people to err or make mistakes. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, that Jesus himself said this, there are false Christs that shall arise. He's Jesus Christ. There are false Christs and false prophets that shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So if there were no false teachers, why did he say this? And if false teaching, false gospel, gospel means good news.
Yes.
If it's false good news, it's bad news. Right?
Yeah.
Apparently Jesus thought it was a big deal, or else he wouldn't have taken up this verse in the Bible to say it. Jude chapter 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, turn on the TV, and honestly, if you sit there with your Bible in your hand, and not just shaking his head and say, yes, my favorite teacher, but wait, he said that. That's wrong, because the book says different, right? The Bereans. Paul got to the town of Berea, I guess it was, and Paul preached, and a lot of people came to God, and they said, that's great. Fantastic, Paul. But look, let me see that book you're reading now. I want to see it for myself. Let's do it the other way. Who didn't bring a Bible today? See? You got one at home, don't you?
Got three
of them. Well, there you go. You got two hands, and so you can read three at once. And one on your phone, and one about, really?
Yeah.
Read it. If you don't understand it, that's what pastors are for. But wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to the word of God. You have to believe it. He that comes to God must first believe that he is.
Yeah.
Gotta believe he is. Mm-hmm. If well, he probably ain't up there, or this is just a joke. They make me come because it's Sunday. You don't have nothing. But he is. And he's a rewarder of those that take time to seek him.
Amen.
John chapter 6. You know, as a preacher, God fills your heart. He fills your mind. He fills your mouth with something to say. He encourages you so much. And I've been to some churches that they don't want to hear it. And I've been to some churches that you can feel the daggers pointing at you. I'm serious. Okay, fine, that's in church. You try to go around LSU and try to witness. They don't want to hear it. They just don't. But God puts the vision in your heart. But there's the times that the people just don't want to hear. I mean, you'll spend a week on a sermon and you feel like you're about to blow up. You got a stump you need pulled, just lay me by it. I'm going to blow up and it's going to fall over.
Mm-hmm.
And you come to church and it feels like it bombs. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes people don't want to hear. John chapter 6, verse 66 through 69. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, this is the bread of life. This is God come from heaven. These are his disciples. It's not just I'm up here telling you about him. This was him. His disciples. In one place it says they were jostling up against him because they had so many people. So they were physically touching Jesus. You can't get any more holy and spiritual than that. But from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. How could that, I don't understand that. Today, if you get tired of church and whatever, you got want to go play golf or whatever, you can do that. But that they walked away from the man that was here, it just blows my mind. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and said, will you also go away? You going away too? Why was it that they were going away? Well, there was persecution. The Pharisees, you know, they take sticks after people. Throw them out of church. You're out, don't ever come back. And call you nasty names and whatever, make you feel worthless. Okay, fine. But Jesus himself was saying, but I'm going to die. And it ain't going to be pretty. And you got to die. And many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And the 12, you know, Peter, James, and John, they all had to understand the message and why people didn't want it. He says, y'all going to go away too? And Simon Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You've got the words of eternal life. If you have your Bible, this is the words of eternal life.
Amen. Yes. Yes, it
is. And we believe and are sure that you're the Christ. You're the one that's anointed from God. And you're the Son of the living God. Remember I said, wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to the word. The answer for false doctrine, the answer is the book. Stick your nose in the book, right? Remember, I'm an old guy, right? And if you want to talk about SpongeBob, I don't know nothing about that. You want to talk about Bugs Bunny and Foghorn Leghorn and all those guys, I know it, right? There was one Bugs Bunny cartoon, and they were back during the time of Hamlin or whatever, and the guy did something wrong, and the king says, okay, put your nose in the book, and he didn't even want to slam, right? You got to stick your nose in the book. You got to do it. You have to know what it says for yourself, like those Bereans, unless you get your nose in the book. And you turn on TV or radio or whatever, and it's like, what are they saying? You can only discern by knowing the truth. You go to the bank, and you got a counterfeit dollar bill, or who cares about it, a counterfeit 100 or 20, something worth something, and they're going to say, oh, that ain't no good, that don't feel right. They do not, in bank school, have a bunch of counterfeit bills and say, okay, you tellers, memorize what this looks like. No. The banker handles this all day long. And they know what the genuine is. And you slip one wrong, they say, oh, that don't feel right.
Yeah.
Ooh, no. And they'll call the cops on you or whatever the case. I don't know. But they know the real. You've got to know the real.
Yeah, that's it.
You've got to know the real. It's your responsibility. You can't point your finger and says, but Jesus, that print. No. But you had six Bibles at home. And you didn't read them. You were more, you know, and I hate to say it. I don't listen to false teachers. I don't. I've been in certain congregations that we idolize the man behind the pulpit. And even if he did really stupid things, we didn't care. I can't believe that I was like that. The man was an idol to me. Sure. And, you know, we can forgive every sin, that's fine, but we need to know what this says.
Yeah.
And instead of the man behind the pulpit, you need to watch carefully the man behind the pulpit is talking about.
Yeah.
You got to look at him. You got to follow him. Not your denomination, not your pastor, not what the deacon say, none of that. You got to follow him. Because you're not going to stand before me on judgment day. I won't be right next to you standing. You understand? One of my favorite chapters. Isaiah chapter 55. Hey, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, that's okay. Come and buy and eat. You don't have any money, but you can buy it anyhow. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Big old diamond is what we call priceless. I mean, you got to pay a lot of money to get it, but we call it priceless because it's so much money. Who could ever, you know? God has something to give you. You don't have to pay for it, but it's priceless.
Amen.
It's priceless.
Yes.
There were parables of the guy who found the pearl in a field and he sold everything he had, even hocked his grandma so he could go buy that field. And he got the field and he says, I don't have to work another day in my life because I'm rich. You understand? You don't have to work another day in your life. You can be rich.
Yes.
Now, I got to go to work. You got everybody. But there's such a thing as grace versus works. Works says, well, I got these 10 commandments. Thou shalt not do all the fun things. Okay, I'm going to stop doing the fun. I'm going to obey the. I'm going to do the work of not doing the fun things. I'm going to keep the 10 commandments. But you can't please God by doing things. You can only please God by trusting that Jesus did them for you. The law, you know, if you go down the road and that state trooper about 3 miles back, he gets you. He's not going to say, man, you're a great driver. I just want to shake. No, he's going to say, sign here, right?
Yeah. Amen.
There's a penalty to the law. And if you don't keep the law 100%, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, well, that means we've all lost out. But Jesus was perfect. And that penalty for sin, it fell upon him. He took your place. I love to teach. And I really love to teach and talk about the scapegoat in the Old Testament, maybe in the book of Exodus or Leviticus or whatever. We get to go free. Okay, that's Old Testament. What about New? Okay, well fine, Barabbas. When Jesus was arrested, there was another guy, Barabbas. And he was down in the dungeon, and what he heard was, they called the name Barabbas. Pilate, or whoever it was, said, well, who am I going to let go? And they all screamed, Barabbas. Well, what are we going to do with this Jesus? And what Barabbas heard was, crucify him. I'm dead now. And the jailer came and heard them keys, and he said, I'm dead now. And the door opened, and he heard his name, Barabbas, and he said, I'm dead now. And he said, get your stuff, boy, you're free. What? You understand?
Yeah.
We get to go free. The law has penalty. You can't work to keep it. But he worked on your behalf. That is the essence of the gospel. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which doesn't satisfy. Pay attention to me, hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, listen up, he says, and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. We must stick to the book. And again, we don't teach false doctrine here. Praise God. But you've got to know it.
Yeah.
Because some of y'all go to work and they go to some other church. The guy in the next desk next to you goes to some other church. Y'all got family where they teach modalism. It's false. You got to know the truth. And you got to love the truth. And it's the only answer is to stick in this book as closely as you can. On this side of the desk and on that side of the desk. So that's my sermon. I hope that you've learned something. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you do something in the heart. Please do something in the heart. I believe that Jesus is coming soon. Don't know when, can't tell, but I know he's coming soon. And I want to be ready. And even though this is a good church, they got to be ready. Because all 10 virgins slumbered and slept. Please help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.